Thank you so much for tuning in to Let's Talk, the official podcast of the National Runaway Safe Line, or NRS. At NRS, we operate the federally designated national communication system for youth who have run away, are experiencing homelessness, or who may be considering leaving home. For over 50 years, we've provided crisis support and resources for young people, families, and communities across the nation. My name is Christopher, and I am the Director of Marketing and Communications for NRS, and I hope you learned as much as I do on this journey to elevate the voices of young people and youth-facing organizations as they share their stories and highlight the complexities and intersections witnessed by the 4.2 million young people facing homelessness each year. I'm so excited to welcome back the incredible Angela Lee, who serves as the director of Love is Respect. Last year, I had the pleasure of talking to Angela about domestic violence, open communication, and the importance of safety planning. And today, we're discussing Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, which is every February. It's also one of Love is Respect's biggest campaigns. Angela, why don't you start off by reintroducing yourself and Love is Respect to our listeners?
Absolutely. Well, good morning or good evening, depending on the time zone, to everyone and you particular, Christopher. My name is Angela Lee. My pronouns are she, her, and they, and I am the Love is Respect director. Love is Respect is a project of the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and we were started in 2007 as the National Teen Dating Abuse Helpline. And today, Love is Respect, you know, we're so excited and so proud that we offer free, confidential 24/7 services and information, whether that's via phone, chat, or text, to anyone 13 years old and up in the U.S. And that's for anyone who's impacted by dating abuse or just wanting to know if their relationship is healthy or unhealthy and ways that they can prevent dating abuse. We pride ourselves on being a safe and inclusive space for young people to access help, support, education, resources, but also in a setting that's designed specifically for them.
Can you give some examples of the problems you're looking to solve through Love is Respect's programs?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Emotional and verbal abuse is one of the most common types of abuse we hear about, you know, from individuals contacting Love is Respect. Now, this could include behavior that isn't physical, which can include like verbal aggression, intimidation, manipulation, humiliation. And most of these unfold as a pattern of behavior over time. In the most recent impact report from Love is Respect, 95% of contacts reported experiencing emotional abuse. Also, of course, there's physical abuse. That's another form that's mentioned by contacts. Physical abuse includes the non-accidental use of like force that results in injury, pain, or impairment, of course. This ranges from slaps to shoves to severe abuse like cuts, burns, or even physical restraint. 44% of the people who contacted us reported experiencing physical abuse. Now, digital abuse, and we were talking about earlier how Gen Z grew up in the digital world, that's another one that we address at Love is Respect, which is when someone is using technology to bully, harass, stalk, intimidate their partner through, you know, like texting, social media. For example, 24% of people who reached out to Love is Respect reported digital abuse as part of the pattern of power and control that they face. Now that's concerning. These are only a few examples of the different ways, Christopher, that abuse takes place. But in addition to addressing these different types of abuse, it's just as important that we acknowledge the disproportional rates of abuse that happen like in specific communities and how people in those communities may face unique forms of abuse, right? As well as unique barriers to accessing like services and programs like Love is Respect. This includes communities of color, the LGBTQ+ community, Native and tribal communities, and so many more.
You mentioned something that stuck out to me, which is digital abuse. As NRS works on compiling the data about the calls we received in 2022, we recognize that about 10 to 15% of all of the crisis contacts, depending on the state, of course, are citing emotional or verbal abuse as a reason for reaching out. And that's a whole separate category for mental health. As an organization, I think it's so important that we flesh out how much of that is digital abuse. So thank you for bringing that up. One of my favorite things about Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month is the theme that you guys have. So last year, the theme was talk about it, and this year's theme is be about it. Can you talk about last year's theme and how you built on that for this year's theme?
Yeah, be about it is like a continuation of last year's theme, talk about it. This year doing Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, we just want to be unapologetically about education, engagement, and empowerment. And we're here to amplify the voices of teens and young adults and those who support them by uplifting positive, healthy, and safe relationships. I think what is special about Be About It, Christopher, is that it captures action. Teens want to take action, and they want us, the adults in their lives, to take action too. This isn't a time to be passively say we support youth. Instead, we need to engage with them by being vulnerable ourselves, by having real conversations, and by really seeking to know directly from youth what they need, because they know themselves better than we do, which is why we're so excited about having these conversations with our National Youth Council.
I love more than anything how Love is Respect centers their work around empowering youth. Like you mentioned, teens really want to take action. And I think with Gen Z specifically, they're like really energized to go out in the world and make change and make sure that their voice is heard. Since you mentioned your youth council, can you share how they contribute to Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month?
Yes. So excited. I love talking about our National Youth Council. So Love is Respect, like you said, does have a National Youth Council. We started about 3 years ago. And one of the reasons we developed a youth council was we recognized that in many ways we were designing programs and resources for youth without hearing directly from them. Their authentic voices and experiences must be represented in all we do. So the Love is Respect National Youth Council, which is sponsored by Macy's, was created in 2020 as a way to directly engage with youth ages 13 to 26. And so their experiences and needs around healthy relationships and dating violence prevention are, you know, represented in Love is Respect's work. We're now in our third cohort. We're so excited to share that of the council. And we currently have 24 members from like 14 states in the U.S. with very diverse backgrounds and lived experiences. And the Love is Respect Youth Council plays a big role in Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. They chose the 2023 theme, Be About It. They've also been instrumental in developing social media content. They've been a part of our IG Lives. They will be panelists in our upcoming webinar on 223, and they just play a key role in our overall strategies leading up to and during Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. They're just amazing individuals.
It's so amazing to have representation from 14 states. And I'll come back to the webinar also, because I expect that the podcast will come out on the same day as the webinar, which is February the 28th. But first, I know there are people who are listening that are probably going to want to search for information about the Youth Council and how they can join. Can you share what people should expect if they do join the Youth Council?
Yeah, so they can expect to learn a lot of things, a lot about healthy relationships, how they defer from unhealthy or abusive relationships. They can expect to meet others from the Youth Council, along with myself and other Love is Respect team members on a regular basis. What else? They can expect to plan and act, play like an active role, just like I was talking about, in designing programs and communications that will directly impact the lives of thousands of youths across the U.S. And they may even
go to the White House. It was my honor to participate along with members of the National Youth Council in a White House gender policy roundtable on digital abuse. So many exciting opportunities for you who participate in this particular program.
Whoa, like the idea of a gender policy roundtable is like one of the coolest things that I've heard so far this year. I'm like, how do I get involved in that? You guys hosted two live sessions on Instagram this year. Can you share some of the key takeaways from those live sessions? And if possible, I'd also love to hear some expectations for the webinar that you're hosting on the 28th of this month.
Absolutely. 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on the 28th. You're right. So the first IG live that we had, it included myself and three youth council members. It was about be about engagement. You were correct on the title. And it was all about how we can have conversations about healthy relationships, not just this month, but throughout the year. And, and also just like really amplifying what does that look like? How do we engage? The second one, which happened actually yesterday, Be About Education, was a conversation on understanding the dynamics of healthy sexual boundaries and consent, including in the online spaces. Because like we just talked about, Christopher, the digital world is very needed and heightened for conversation. Now, our last one is going to be about empowerment. That's going to take place on 2/28 at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we're just going to cover how people can support and even inspire, you know, others in their lives to pursue healthy relationships while also being able to recognize toxic behaviors. We're really going to go deep into what that looks like for certain populations on the margin and what support is really needed. Now, on the 23rd of this month, and I'm not sure if this episode will be then aired by then, and I'll be happy to share the link with you. The Youth Council will host a webinar, Growing Up in the Digital World. So you can go to our website, loveisrespect.org, and search Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, or you can just type in all caps, TDVAM, and you will see the link where you can register. Now, this will be a very meaningful discussion between some members of our youth council on the subject of online harassment and abuse. We plan to discuss the very real life experiences youth are having, both online and, of course, in real life. We'll be talking about online safety, support, how pop culture and media play a role in our understanding of abuse. I'm very excited to moderate this session, but I'm more excited to be accompanied by some of our youth council members. Currently, we have over 1,200 people registered so far, but there's still time to register. And Christopher, I'll be happy to drop the link to you as well.
And for anyone listening, of course, I will make sure that the links to register are available in the description of this episode. And Angela, for anyone who's listening that isn't able to attend, will a recording of the webinar be made available after it's hosted?
Absolutely. So don't worry. And even if you register, we're working on making sure that the recording can go out to everyone who registered as well.
Perfect. Now, earlier you touched on two things that I'm really excited about because I think they're great educational resources. The first was about online abuse and harassment. I know last year Love is Respect did an online abuse and harassment survey. Were there any surprise findings in the survey?
Yes. Actually, it was. The online abuse and harassment survey confirmed something that we've witnessed for a long time, which is that it's an incredibly widespread issue. In fact, Christopher, 100% of the respondents stated they've experienced at least one type of online harassment or abuse. But the most common setting this occurred in was via text or other messaging apps and social media. One of the things that we know at Love is Respect is that there is a false binary between real life and online. And that's so harmful. Harm is harm, and abuse is dangerous no matter where it's taking place. Respondents to our survey shared that many times their online abusive experiences weren't validated because it wasn't in real life. Abuse or physical harm, despite the suffering that they were experiencing. Also, 33% of the respondents did not even seek out help or support. But of those who did, 50% turned to friends and family. So it's so important that we inform friends and family how to best support those around them. And if you want to see the full survey report, and I can share that with you as well, Christopher, but you can go to thehotline.org and the survey will be on there. You just type in online abuse and harassment.
Of course. And for everyone listening, we'll make that easy on you too and make sure that a link will be in the description of this episode as well. We highly recommend taking a look at any type of survey, especially in the digital world that talks about how young people are engaging online and the issues that they're facing. I'm actually really surprised that the majority of the bullying is happening through texting, because I am on social media a pretty good amount. And I have been on, like, I've had my Twitter account is officially like 14 or 15 years old this year. So I've seen it all. And I almost expect that. I've watched as social media has shifted from like fun and new engagement, exciting, to being like, oh, well, now like any type of engagement is good engagement. So there's this huge rise in what I'm calling hate engagement, where people are like intentionally seeking out negative and hateful interactions, because the social media websites have admitted that they are letting their algorithm connect these people that have really hateful language and are often interacting with people in a negative way and connecting them together so that they can increase that engagement as well. Because for them, it just shows that people are like being more involved on those specific social media sites. So I'm really interested. I'm going to definitely take a deep dive into that survey and probably make sure to share some of the key takeaways out on our own social media, because that is going to have a huge impact. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. And you know, words matter and words hurt.
Totally. Are you guys going to do that survey again this year?
We're definitely in conversation and working with the White House. So there is a lot more work and different surveys that may be coming up.
Perfect. We hope you keep us updated on those. If we can help provide any additional like youth with lived experience or anything like that, we'd love to make sure that we're connected in those ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Another thing that you mentioned, and this is, I'm a huge pop culture buff. There's a really, really fantastic article on Love is Respect called How Pop Culture Can Negatively Impact People's Perceptions of Relationships. Can you talk about some of the behaviors that we're having to unlearn from pop culture?
And this is a big one. We're going to touch on some of this in the webinar as well. So please, everyone, tune in. But Christopher, understanding and practicing consent is a big one. Touching someone without their consent is never okay, right? Even if the people involved are close friends, or even if you're in a relationship, no one should feel another person unless that person has given consent. And I wouldn't even just say consent, enthusiastic consent beforehand, especially when touching intimate areas. If a person does not express consent, for example, they seem hesitant or like unable to respond, then the other person should respect the person and not touch them. Respecting each other's boundaries is another important behavior, because we see stories in pop culture where that's just not emphasized. Something else we see a lot from pop culture is poor communication skills. And healthy communication is a key to a healthy relationship. So learning healthy communication skills, and not just learning them, practicing those with partners, is something we have to consciously learn and work at on a daily basis.
One thing that I recognize is that because of social media, we really get to see how celebrities move through their personal lives more than we ever have before. And a big component of that is how they interact in their personal and romantic relationships. Like, we might see them lashing out or putting personal information out there, which I find to be really toxic. And I think that makes people think that it's a safe and acceptable way to process their trauma or to deal with things that are upsetting them. You know, it's never a good idea to lean on the peanut gallery to help you process your feelings, if you know what I mean. And I know there are two sides to every coin. I've had the same Twitter account for over a decade, and it's private, and I only interact with the people I actually know or have known online for a really long time, because I know that these people aren't going to try to like weaponize my words against me, or that because my account is private, I know that random people aren't going to be inserting their opinions when it's not asked for. When I first joined social media, it was really all about connecting and building relationships with people who had common interests or were using the same keywords. And now it seems like people are seeking out opportunities to just start a fight. I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent there.
No, I don't think you did. And what you were explaining as far as your own personal Twitter account is what we call at Love is Respect as digital boundaries. It's important to have those type of boundaries, whatever works for the actual individual. But it's also important to understand, and our young people need to understand, and we want them to understand that, you know, thinking about how pop culture can affect us positively or negatively, you know, because sometimes when we're looking at these different things on social media, it can give us the impression that this is a normal relationship because you're seeing it so much. And that's not necessarily true. That's definitely not true. Let me say that.
Exactly. And I would be remiss if I didn't go back to this. You said something that I thought was really fabulous. Enthusiastic consent that really deeply resonated with me. Like you said, when someone is timid in their response, or it seems like they're still processing what that question or what that response means, they're not truly committed to that yes. And it should be respected. I encourage everyone listening to shift their language from consent to enthusiastic consent or something comparable, because that's the truth of it. I'm sure we can all recognize that a yes now doesn't mean it's a yes later. I may hesitantly agree to something now and then be against it later. And I really hope as a society we can get away from this goal of putting in the work just to get a yes and that being enough. One last question, and I always like to come back to this question. What are the different ways that an organization like NRS or individuals can support Love is Respect's mission? And of course, I know donations. Please donate to organizations like Love is Respect, like National Runaway Safe Line, if you can. But I'm also curious about what other forms of support may look like in 2023.
Yeah. Christopher, you're already doing it. You're already working in this direction by inviting me to speak on your podcast today. So great job. You know, collaborations like this between Love is Respect and the National Runaway Safe Line allows us to connect with new audiences and reach more people every day, which is our goal. Now, donating is a big one. Those listening to this amazing podcast should be supporting NRS and Love is Respect in any way they can. We greatly appreciate it. And also sharing this vital information. Download our resources. Download National Runaway Safe Lines information and have these conversations with the youth in your life. They want and crave our attention and support. And you know, you can contact us. Our information is on our website, loveisrespect.org, where you can chat. It's totally confidential. A lot of young people like to text. You can text love is, that's one word, to 22522. Or you can just call us. And like I said, all that information is on the website, and I can provide that to you, Christopher, as well. But last but not least, and it's like the last three themes that the Youth Council members came up with for the last 3 years for Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Know your worth, talk about your worth, and be about it, you know, unapologetically. And that just love is respect, and I'm sure you share in the same sentiment at the National Runaway Safe Line. Believe and want you to know that you deserve to be safe, loved, and respected. Always. Period.
Thank you so much for tuning into Let's Talk. You can support this podcast by subscribing on your favorite podcasting platform or by leaving a review about all the things you've learned. Transcripts for the Let's Talk podcast are available at 1-800-RUNAWAY.org/podcast. Until next time, take care and remember to support organizations making a difference in your community.